This is a coastal story, written and presented by Charlie Connolly. There are plenty of reasons to be impressed by Captain Basil Hall of the Royal Navy. He was a friend of Sir Walter Scott's, hung out with Charles Dickens, and in 1817 conducted a long interview with Napoleon during his exile on St. Helena. A keen scientist, he was a Fellow of the Royal Society and the Royal Society of Edinburgh, his hometown, and counted among his circle of friends John Herschel and Humphrey Davy. As a patron of the arts, he was directly responsible for putting up funds to allow the impoverished American artist John James Audubon to create the Birds of America, copies of which sell today for somewhere around £6 million. On top of all that, he sailed around the world several times over, fighting in wars and undertaking scientific research, and wrote a number of books about his travels and adventures, including 1829's Travels in North America, which put a lot of North American backs up by being sharply critical of many aspects of North American society, including North American slavery. For me, though, Basil Hall will only ever be notable for one reason. He was the first person ever to scale and set foot on Rockall. If you've heard of Rockall at all, it's probably thanks to the shipping forecast. I'm guessing you'd struggle to point to it on a map. You'd struggle to find a map on which to point at it. It's that remote. On the face of it, Rockall doesn't have much going for it, being just a lump of rock sticking about 80 feet out of the North Atlantic, 230 miles west of the Outer Hebrides, covered in bird shit. But I, for one, love Rockall. I think I might even love Rockall more than anywhere in the world. For the last 200 years, it's been the source of tremendous stories. A few of them tragic, some of them pretty funny, and most of them showing up the absurdities of international relations and even imperialism itself. Such is my affection for Rockall that a few years ago a British tabloid even ran a story that I was planning to claim it for myself and pronounce myself king. Which was bizarre enough, even before Ben Fogle then challenged me to a fight for control of Rockall via the pages of the Daily Telegraph. But those are stories for another time. Until relatively recently, more people had set foot on the moon than had stood on Rockall. For one thing, nobody really passes Rockall. For another, heavy seas usually make it impossible to even get a handhold on the rock, let alone scale it to a point where it's possible to stand up without holding on to anything. The only place you can do that is a small plateau near the top of the rock. It's called Hall's Ledge, and it's named after our man, Captain Basil Hall of the Royal Navy, because he was the first to stand there. The Neil Armstrong of Rockall. A small step for Basil Hall, general indifference from mankind. But humour me, the Rockallophile. Here's what happened. In September 1811, Basil Hall was a lieutenant serving on the 40-gun HMS Endymion, renowned as the fastest ship in the Royal Navy at the time, and cruising the North Atlantic northwest of Ireland. One morning, the man in the crow's nest reported a sail on the lee beam. The combined wisdom of the officers on deck decided it must be a brig. But it didn't seem to be going anywhere. Not even when the Endymion set off to investigate did this mysterious ship change its position one iota. That's because it wasn't a ship in sail. It was a lump of rock sticking out of the sea, smothered in birdshit. Or, as Basil Hall put it, covered with a coating white as snow, for having been for ages the resting place of myriads of seafowl. Having nothing better to do, the crew decided to explore Rockall at close quarters, with Hall taking charge of a rowing boat sent out from the Endymion. Arriving next to the rock in a decent swell, Hall and a couple of the others managed to spring from their boat and find hand and footholds. A full step or a faltering carriage after the spring was resolved on might have sent the explorer to investigate the deep, he wrote, in those fathomless regions where the roots of this mysterious rock connect it with the solid earth. Hall was the first to touch the rock, then the first to make it to the top. He set about taking measurements and chipping off samples to examine back on the ship and got a bit distracted. As he put it, we had finished all our real work and were only amusing ourselves by scrambling about the rock. And before he knew it, fog had closed in, and in his words, put some apprehensions into our heads. That would put it mildly. The sea had got up considerably since he scaled the rock, and the Endymion had drifted with the current away from where they'd left it. With fog closing in, they now had no idea where their ship was. Hall and his colleagues were left standing ankle-deep in birdshit on a narrow ledge on top of a rock more than 200 miles from the nearest land, with the sea rising, thick fog forming, and no sign of the only ship within hundreds of miles. As sticky predicaments go, this certainly would put some apprehension into your head. They decided the safest course of action was to climb down the rock and take to their boats again. A process so precarious it took half an hour, culminating in a sort of somersault or flying leap, for the adventurer whose turn it was to spring had to dash off the rock towards the boat, trusting more to the chance of being caught by his companions than to any skill of his own. The fun had only just begun. There was a brief glimpse of the Endymion through the fog, at a considerable distance, and the men began rowing like the clappers towards her, but she soon disappeared again. And after some discussion, and noting the impending twilight ahead of nightfall, they decided they were better off going back to Rockall. Back they went, up they went, as it looked increasingly likely they might be on that wind-blasted, bird-strafed, godforsaken rock for the night. It now became indispensable to adopt some definite line of operations, for the angry-looking night was setting in fast, wrote Hall, meaning they might be on that wind-blasted, bird-strafed, godforsaken rock for the night. But then the fog lifted, and there was the Endymion, letting fly her jib sheet and coming around. 8 hours after they'd first climbed the rock, Hall and his shipmates were able to descend again and return to their ship. Back on board, it turned out that as much as the Rockall party couldn't see the Endymion couldn't see Rockall either. Nor could Hall hear the broadsides of cannon fire they'd been letting fly every 10 minutes to indicate their position above the screeching of the seabirds. This was the first example of what I'm calling the Rockall effect. A bit of mystery, a heavy dose of farce, mountains of birdshit, and weather. Plenty of weather. All the weather. As I tell this story, the current shipping forecast for Rockall reads, Northwest 6 to Gale 8, veering north 7 to severe gale 9, perhaps storm 10 later. Very rough or high, becoming high or very high later. Squally wintry showers, moderate, occasionally poor. I'd still love to go there, though. I might claim it for myself. In your face, Fogel. That was A Coastal Story. I'm Charlie Connolly. There's much more on Ruckel in my book about the shipping forecast, Attentional Shipping, published by Abacus and available from wherever you buy your books. It was a Radio 4 Book of the Week once, no less. Cracking Christmas present too. Not for me, I know what happens. But certainly for someone you know, and love, and respect. Thanks to everyone who's reviewed and rated Coastal Stories. You are all tip-top. Also tip-top are those pinnacles of humanity who've donated the price of a pint via ko-fi.com/coastalstories this week. Thanks so much to all of you. If you've been enjoying these stories, then I hope you've subscribed. And if you leave a review and a rating, that's a massive help in spreading the word. If you want to stand the podcast the price of a pint, once again, it's ko-fi.com/coastalstories. ko-fi.com/coastalstories. And I'll stick a link in the show notes, along with a link to where you can buy Attentional Shipping while at the same time helping out independent bookshops. It is nearly Christmas, after all. The waves you can hear were recorded early in the morning of Thursday the 3rd of December 2020 at Deal. It was just after low tide, when the sea was calm and the air was still, just before the rain and wind showed up, throwing their weight around.